14. Claire.
Everything went wrong. Gregor is gone and I am still here, but I won't apologize. Not to God or the devil. Not when souls are trapped here, left to wither and dry like flowers pressed between the pages of the books we keep. Andrus says I'll grow into the role. I suppose I will. It's the only path you left me. I won't apologize. But I won't forgive either. Apprentice Librarian Claire Juniper Hadley, 1989 CE.
You cheated!
The room, like everywhere else in the lodge, was uncomfortably warm, and Claire picked irritably at the bandage on her arm. She sat on a cushioned bench, grudgingly sipping tea Bjorn had brewed to restore her strength and put hair on your chest. She'd insisted on bandaging her arm herself, freeing the healers to tend a hero, who had been quickly whisked to an adjoining room after the fight.
Do you explain, lass? I'm in the mood to laugh.
Bjorn rubbed his bruised knee from the opposite side of the small table. They were in his personal study. The walls were lined not with books, but with rows of capsi, hatbox-like containers that held scrolls and wooden slates of every shape and size. A fire roared in the fireplace that took up the far wall, and the study was as cozy as it was chaotic. Claire shuddered to think what the Valhalla Library must look like if this was a tidy personal collection. She took another sip of the tea and made a bitter face.
You quoted an unwritten author. That's specifically against the rules of the duel. Worse, you quoted me. That's not just cheating, that's dirty.
Bjorn raised a brow.
Would that be more or less dirty than turning your words against a non-combatant?
Uther was about to kill my character. He most certainly was a combatant.
Not your combatant.
Close enough.
Claire smacked the mug on the tabletop with a peevish frown. He may be disconnected from his book, and he's most definitely a pain in the ass. But Hero is still mine.
Well, you and your boy certainly set Uther straight on that.
Claire remembered the mule they'd had to bring in to haul Uther's body out of the arena, and she diverted her eyes to the table.
Yes, well, sorry about your champion.
Don't be. Bjorn gave an airy wave of his hand. He'll be right as rain tomorrow.
I beg your pardon.
We're in an afterlife for warriors, librarian.
Bjorn leaned back, and his chair let out a long creak as he grinned.
Any who fall in battle today wake up fresh as springtime tomorrow. He'll never wield Widowbane again. He's been proven unworthy. But he'll continue on. We do love a good fight, and Valhalla sees to its own.
Well, that's convenient, Claire said. Tell me, would it have been the same for Hero if he'd fallen?
Bjorn raised his brows, considering.
He didn't die a warrior of the halls, so... probably not.
Good thing I cheated, then.
Good thing, Bjorn relented. Up until then, you did comport yourself well enough to pass. The hall will have you.
Claire was quiet a moment before saying,
The book you quoted, how did you... I mean, have you read...
I was the librarian of the unwritten wing before your grandfather was a twinkle in anyone's eye.
Bjorn's lip curled as he toyed with the edge of the table, running a rough thumb back and forth.
I had time enough in that place to get familiar with lots of books, including yours.
My books were there before I was even born.
A queer feeling flipped in Claire's stomach, and her mind could not settle on a proper question to ask out of the hundred that bubbled up. She'd helmed the library for 30 years, and it still felt like a mercurial kind of impossibility. A story was more immortal than its teller. Time had no play there, only potential. Claire had failed both. She looked up to find Bjorn studying her carefully.
They were readable?
I wouldn't call them Shakespeare, but they were passable, yes, Bjorn said. You do have quite the collection.
Well, not that it matters now.
Claire's eyes dropped, and she abruptly found an excuse to stand. The hearth needed poking, irresponsible to let the flames die down. Bjorn followed her to the fireplace and rubbed a sore arm before glancing at her.
I heard about what happened, of course.
The fire twitched behind the grate. Claire found her breath tripped up in her throat before she could let it out again.
There were 100 tales about my ignominious rise to librarian, Bjorn. You'll need to be more specific.
The rumor that goes against the tale. The one that says Gregor didn't retire to his greater reward. The rumor that says he was attacked. Attacked by something with the power to unmake a human soul. Your mentor disappeared under unusual circumstances, we shall say.
Bjorn said it calmly, as if recounting last night's dinner.
And the attacker was never found, of course. So the retirement line was the one that took. Left you to take on the mantle far too soon, by most folks' estimates.
That is one of the more fanciful ones. Did you hear the one where I sold my soul for the promotion? Danced naked with Cerberus? Never mind how I would sell my soul when I was already in hell, but...
Claire trailed off as Bjorn failed to take the joke. She rolled her shoulders in a weary shrug.
Gregor. He was more than a mentor. He was my friend, and I would have never wished him harm.
It was true enough, Claire thought carefully, in a certain kind of light. Bjorn was quiet for a moment, as if testing the edges of that statement. Then he turned with a grunt.
Ah, where's my mind? They'll already be at the feast. Hero too, if the healers have done their work.
Feast. Claire's voice was flat. Bjorn, I can't tolerate another delaying tactic.
A feast for our angelic guests.
Angels? Claire's eyes widened in alarm. Here? But how?
They arrived shortly after you. Because of what they are, the Hall already recognizes them as warriors. They were welcomed in. Think they even caught the last of the fight.
Bjorn hooded his eyes as Claire began to pace.
I suppose you know why they're here.
Claire twisted her hands, wincing, as doing so pulled on her bandage.
You said there was more than one.
Two. One formidable lass all in white, and a man in gray who frowns too much.
Bjorn paused.
I don't hold with that lot, but they seemed a capable pair.
Capable and problematic. We'll need to leave right away,
Claire muttered.
You know why they're here?
Let's see. Hell's librarian and two hunter angels visiting a simple storyteller on the same day, muttering disaster and all hackles up about something, Bjorn snorted. Even a dumb old Viking has to get the idea.
Bjorn held up a hand as Claire opened her mouth.
Easy, lass. I am loyal to the library, but listen. Even if I answered your questions now, worst thing you could do is go tearing out of here with the angels watching the gate.
They'd be on you faster than a raven flies.
Feast. Rest a while. I'll give you your answers, and you may slip out in the morning when half the realm is still sleeping off the drink.
Claire's mouth shut slowly.
Do angels even drink?
Bjorn chuckled and took her by the arm.
All warriors drink in Valhalla. Come, I'll prove it.
All warriors did indeed drink in Valhalla. The arena had been invaded, lined with additional long tables and benches to accommodate the revelers, who were several drinks in already. Claire could barely move through the crowd without having to dodge sundry blades and axes strapped to backs. Valhalla's citizens did not believe in leaving their weapons at the door, even for a party. In truth, Claire found it maddening, the chaos, the cheer, the swells of mood and passion that roiled over the pressed bodies like a wave. She'd never cared for crowds. Crowds were messy. Crowds were not predictable and not reliable. After she'd spent 30-plus years in the quiet of the library, dealing only with the trickle of Hell's patrons and recalcitrant books, Claire found the chuff and churn of Valhalla's festivities incomprehensible. It made her head hurt and her joints ache. Mercifully, Bjorn guided her to the table her companions had staked out, before he drifted away, muttering about proper drink and song.
Oh, try the little blue ones.
Brevity had been busy in her absence. A stack of small pastries and dainty twists of meat, far more ornate than Claire would have guessed the Vikings capable of, was set out in the center of the table. She smiled despite herself. Trust Brevity to find the sweets at any party. Claire allowed Brevity to shove a mug of something sloshing and foamy into her hand. Hero was still absent, but her assistant succeeded in coaxing Leto and Andrus into sipping at their drinks. Judging by the empty mugs and the bearded grins sent their way, she had passed the time warming to the warriors at the adjoining table. Excellent work. It couldn't hurt to win the goodwill of Valhalla's residents.
You did great, boss,
Brevity said. If you say so. Claire kept her eyes on Bjorn and set down the mug the moment he disappeared into the crowd. There are angels here. Andrus choked on his drink, flecks of ale dotting his beard as his gaze darted around.
Already?
It seems so. Claire recounted Bjorn's news as quickly as she could. Leto, having run into an angel once already that day, began to exude panic, acid sweat forming on his temple and sliding down to his collar with a hiss. Frankly, Claire couldn't blame him. Brevity pivoted in her seat to scan the crowd, covering the gesture by ordering another round for the boisterous table next to them. You're certain there was no way for them to track the scrap in the afterlife? Claire asked Andrus.
Absolutely not. It's a piece of hell. They could detect general demonic activity if they were in the area, but not across realms. They must be searching anywhere we were likely to seek help.
Which means they have an inkling of how important it is. Brilliant.
If so, we need to leave, pup. Sooner rather than later.
At Claire's look, Andrus's brow furrowed.
Surely we're not staying here while there are angels looking for us.
Of course not, Claire said. Bjorn may trust in the hospitality rules of Valhalla, but I don't. We will just need to get around them carefully. Do you see them yet, Brev?
Only one, ma'am. Tall lady by the entrance. All shiny and terrifying looking. I don't think the Vikings care for her much.
Claire raised herself from the bench just enough to spy what looked like a pale, walking storm cloud over the heads of the crowd. The crowd, despite the increasingly rowdy tone, did its best to flow away from her general vicinity. Well, she's not doing much to hide herself.
Heaven never was much for subterfuge,
Andrus said, with a touch too much demonic pride. Then that's going to have to be our way out. Claire toyed with the foam on her drink, trying to develop a plan that balanced meeting their goals with getting out with their skins intact. Brev, Leto, go extract Hero from the healers, assuming he's not run off, and get him up to date. Then find Bjorn and get him alone in his office. I don't care if you have to tie him up by the beard, we're getting our answers tonight. I'll meet you there. Brevity was already springing from the bench.
A rescue and Viking napping sound fun. What are you going to do?
Go find our other angel. Leto paused halfway out of the bench. Pardon me for suggesting, but you don't want to wait to take Hero with you? Last time that angel was kind of angry and violent.
I'm sure Hero will just be thrilled you volunteered him for mortal peril again,
Andrus mused. Claire remembered the lightning crack and smell of ozone from their first encounter with Ramiel. The point where the blade had rested on her chest tightened a little, but she shoved it away and shook her head. She'd risked the book enough for one day. No, I'll be fine. We're all guests in Valhalla, correct? I just want to talk.
I'll come then, Andrus said.
Claire frowned at the old demon. I'm not sure that's a good idea. This one seemed to have a hair trigger even around Leto, and he was in human form then.
He really doesn't like demons, Leto confirmed.
You said it yourself. Valhalla's safe.
A calculating look flickered through Andras's red-gold eyes.
Don't worry about me. I've dealt with more than my share of heaven's pests in my time. And this one, Ramiel? He's not even part of the host, a fallen angel. I want to see why such a creature is after us, and how they came to possess the pages of the Codex after all this time. I might be able to detect something from what he says.
It was much the same reason that Claire was taking the risk herself, so she couldn't find much fault. I still don't think it's a good idea.
Then it's a good thing I'm not one of your apprentices. I'm coming.
Andras's smile was mild, but Claire knew when the demon's mind was made up. Stubborn.
A requirement when dealing with humans.
So it seems. Andras had a demon's care for order and justice. That is to say, none at all. For the first time, Claire wondered exactly what his real motivations were for setting her on this path, let alone coming himself. Andras could have just as easily advised from the arcane wing. In fact, staying behind the scenes, subtle and withdrawn, was just Andras's preference. A tactic he'd tried to impart to Claire, but she'd always preferred doing her own work. She'd trusted Andras, despite his being a demon. He'd protected her, taught her, cared for her. She would not have held on to the library if he hadn't stepped in and guided the way 30 years ago. Still, she trusted him, but she didn't pretend to understand him. Perhaps exposing him to the angel would shake loose more than just clues about the book. She forced a smile. All right, but I will do the talking. Ales barely touched. The group disbanded from the table. Claire ducked toward the back with Andras, while Brevity shoved cakes in her pockets and began a loud round of drink buying and shoulder slapping to cover their exit. 15. Ramiel. On the subject of angels, be not afraid.
Oh, hush, let an old crone have her fun. No, really, kiddo, don't mess with them. They're all hopping mad as the English, and twice as dangerous.
Librarian Fleur Michel, 1762 CE.
The froth on the ale was good. By rights, a pour that resulted in a head like that should have flattened the taste of the beer, but the drink was a crisp relief beneath the soft foam. Like Vikings, angels had a good appreciation for an excellent brew. There was a reason monks brewed ale to supplement their monasteries. Ramiel was surprised to find he enjoyed Valhalla, though he was certain enjoyment wasn't part of Uriel's plan. The plan, of course, was to bust down the doors of the realms, find and confront the librarian, and get out before an inter-realm grievance could be filed. The paperwork for that would be atrocious. They'd been lucky to find Hell's representatives so fast. They'd been unlucky, however, to find them in the arena, fighting with cleverness and heroics, two things that were certain to endear them to Valhalla's residents immediately. Uriel had threatened to start glowing, a very bad sign, until Rami had coaxed her into a back corner and explained they needed a new approach. It had taken some talking to make her see the logic. Contrary to Uriel's speech, heaven was not set above Valhalla, Hell, or anywhere. All the Afterrealms maintained a careful, if grudging, balance, sustained by the fuel of belief and the flow of souls to each realm. Realms of similar purpose were often most harmonious, but all of them were sovereign. An incident here, between two paradise realms, could upset all of it for centuries. Thankfully, the light of God had eventually calmed down enough for them to formulate a new plan. Gather information on Hell's activities, and apprehend its representatives the moment they isolated themselves from the realm's warriors. Uriel, of course, had taken up a very visible and glowering guard by the front entrance. She'd made no effort to fill in Valhalla's Master of the Guard, an old warrior named Ragna, on what brought them there, declaring Heaven's business was no one else's if they were acting within the rights of the treaty. Even a formal stance couldn't hide the repulsed looks Uriel cast at the Vikings. To be fair, the residents of Valhalla appeared to quickly develop the same sentiment toward her. Rami saw how companionable smiles quickly fell to suspicious frowns over their ale. Uriel had never had patience for the souls that chose other realms, worshipped other gods, and once again Rami wondered why she'd left heaven for this. Hunting was primarily a game of information, and there would be no information to be gained without the goodwill of Valhalla's denizens. She did at least serve as an admirable distraction. He had told Uriel that he would sweep the hall for other exits and then promptly left her to her self-righteous watch. It hadn't taken long to find out where Hell's servants gathered. The librarian and her champion were still missing, but Rami recognized the bewildered-looking young man who had accompanied her on Earth. He was with a pair of companions, a demon, and a spirit he couldn't identify, but who radiated curiosity and sticky fingers. But it was the boy who seemed the oddest of the group. He was changed, now with the pointed ears, red eyes, and sharp, pale cheekbones of a minor demon, not the harmless human he'd presented himself as before. It riled Rami. Further proof that all souls in hell were liars, but he made no move to confront them. Patience was also a virtue in heaven, which is how he found himself in a pub-like room near the rear exit of the longhouse, virtuously enjoying a mug of dark ale. It appeared to be a keg room, one of many considering Valhalla's infinite supply. But in front of the old barrels, a high table had been set up, with several stools to form a makeshift bar. The crowd was small, an eddy in the greater raucous sea of the main hall, but it appeared even Valhalla had introverts. It was a welcome pause from the chaos of the party. In a strange way, he felt comfortable here. These mortal souls were strange with their hairy bodies and unfamiliar gods, but they were soldiers. Ramiel could understand soldiers. He had quickly gone to work plying them with just enough ale and cheerful aggression to justify conversation. According to the others, the visitors from Hell had arrived shortly before the angels, and with no treaty recognized, they'd been immediately challenged to combat. They'd been forced to oblige, claiming they sought audience with the storyteller. That was good because it meant they likely did not yet have what they'd come for. Rami didn't have a clue how Valhalla was tied to that dangerous bit of paper, but it bought him time. It was simple to survey the impression they'd made. Most had been impressed with the champion's courage and skill, if not necessarily his appearance. "Too smooth. He'll freeze his chin off," one soul with a particularly impressive red beard had grumbled. Rami also discovered to his surprise that even more admiration had begun to coalesce around the librarian.
"Not a bonny lass, course. Someone should tell her to smile," grunted a bald and tattooed man, with an axe strapped shoulder to torso. "But she got good and bloodied, and put down Uther with a word. Imagine! Handy trick, that." "Some of the Freya touched in that one. Good thing the naked babe they called a champion had her to mind him," another said, bringing about another rather telling round of speculation about the fighter's looks.
"If you say so."
It was hard not to let judgment lace his voice. The librarian seemed just as arrogant and unrepentant as every other servant of Hell he'd encountered. He could not parse the idea of honor being attributed to anyone consigned to that realm.
"Puts a man in mind of what stories a teller like that could tell," added the squat walking beard on his other side. "Or what she could do with a proper weapon. Mark my words, lass like her's got spirit. I'd love to get her in the ring. Or in bed, eh, Holfad?"
And both warriors devolved into an entirely inappropriate exchange about the relative bed-warming merits of both the librarian and her champion. But that had been two ales ago. By now, the small barroom had emptied out as the more sociable warriors flowed back to the halls, and the less sociable ones went to sleep. Rami took the opportunity to process his drink and his night. Their prey had obviously made too big an impression for Valhalla to look the other way when heaven confronted them. He and Uriel were warriors, and therefore respected in Valhalla. But from the way the Norse storyteller had taken the librarian under his wing, it seemed Hell had friends in Valhalla as well. The trick would be catching them alone. The reflection of his frown abruptly dissolved into ripples in his drink. A fresh mug careened against his, spilling a generous portion of the contents of both across his knuckles. He jerked his head up. The curse on his lips died as his eyes landed on the woman at the other end of the bar. She had one arm bandaged, poorly, and her braided hair was in some disarray. But that coin-flip smile was just as unreadable as on the pier. The librarian had the look of someone caught perpetually mid-secret. She raised her own mug at him. "Sorry, I'm a poor shot. Bars weren't places for a lady when I was around. Or at least," she amended after a pause, "not the kind of lady my family allowed me to be." Instead of responding, Rami gave the room a sweeping glance. The pub was but not quite deserted, with a few inhabitants drinking by the fire. The keg master in the corner gave them a shrewd squint before turning back to his cups, a silent warning not to start any trouble.
"Librarian,"
Rami felt caught halfway between a grunt and a sigh. The woman had the knack to wear him down in a blink.
"Claire," she corrected. "It's Claire, by the way, if you're going to be hunting us, threatening destruction of our immortal souls, all that. Personal names seem like the proper thing."
Rami bristled and found new fascination with his drink. The weight of her gaze on his shoulders was nearly intolerable until she pushed herself from her stool and slid down the bar. She stopped one seat away, just out of arm's reach. So she wasn't entirely stupid.
"What brings an angel to the halls of Valhalla?"
"I imagine the same thing that brings Hell's servants."
At the corner of her mouth, there might have been a flutter of irritation that was quickly smoothed away.
"Tenant, not a servant."
Rami snorted, though he found his tongue considerably looser than he liked. He was not like Uriel, disdaining every soul not heaven-bound. He of all people knew the many paths that led everyone astray. But the librarian's manner set him on edge. A creature of hell that didn't consider itself a servant was either dangerous or a fool. It was beginning to strike Rami that the librarian might be both. Rami must have muttered that thought out loud because the woman laughed.
"A fool, that might be fair. From time to time."
She surprised him by taking the insult with a shrug. Rami tried again.
"Where's your pet demon? Tired of pretending he's human?"
"Leto is human, though I suppose convincing you of that story would take too long for one drink," she said. "But my other pet demon is here, so I don't disappoint you. Say hello, Andrus."
In a blink, a figure dressed in fussy silk sat where no one had been before. Sharply pointed ears and pupils the color of blood gold marked him as, indeed, a demon, and a powerful one at that. Black-striped hair glinted like a pelt in the dim light. The taste of sulfur slicked the back of Rami's throat and burned his tongue. The handsome demon looked harmless and familiar, in the way of the worst childhood nightmares. He gave a mild smile that was too well-crafted to be sincere.
"Hello, Andrus," the demon mimicked politely. "I am not a pet, by the way."
"Apologies, Arcanist. I was merely speaking his language. We're less than animals in some eyes,"
Claire said with a cool look at Rami.
"So I hear."
Andrus swept his eyes over Rami with a look that felt surgical, claws hidden in a velvet glove. A predator behind those glasses, Rami felt in an instant. He recalculated his estimation of the creature. The library had brought force. It seemed an odd way to show their hand. Rami shifted to keep an eye on the demon, though found he much preferred looking at Claire.
"I take it you've found what you seek here?"
"Not yet," she said easily, and Rami thought a bit too promptly. "But travel is taxing on our kind. We intend to enjoy Valhalla's excellent hospitality. Price of admission was high enough, so we might as well get our money's worth. Leave tomorrow evening."
Rami doubted it.
"And I suppose this visit means you don't intend to surrender the book."
"What book would that be again?"
"You obviously know of what I speak. You stole it from me.
The scrap, you mean. A misunderstanding, really.
Claire shook her head.
You know, if you'd been just a little more patient and a little clearer when we met, you'd still be in possession of it.
Here I thought angels were supposed to be forgiving and kind. I'm not that kind of angel.
I know very much what kind of angel you are, Ramiel, thunder of God, watcher of the world. Question is, why is a fallen angel helping heaven?
Claire tilted her head.
Why are you here?
Rami fell silent. He knew there was nothing to say. The abomination wrapped in a gentleman's skin didn't help matters.
Ask him what heaven's offered him,
Andris said. Claire frowned.
I wasn't aware that heaven was in the deal-making business.
You'd be surprised,
Andris shrugged.
All right, I'll bite. What's heaven offered you to jumpstart a war, Ramiel?
Again, not your concern.
Rami paused.
What war?
Claire exchanged a look with the demon, but only Rami saw the look that crossed Andris's face as Claire glanced away. Eyes narrowed, lip twitched up. Pleased, possessive, predatory. While Claire sat with the creature at her side as if it were a favored pet. For the first time, Rami wondered if the librarian knew what kind of creature she had at her back. But his speculation was cut short by Claire's sniff.
Are you telling me you're hunting a book whose purpose you don't understand?
And what should I know, librarian? The librarian's brown eyes gleamed with amusement.
I'll give you one thing for free, though I know you won't believe me. What you're after is not anything heaven has a right to. And your interference here could cost the mortal world dearly.
More than that, you'll need to ask your terrifying partner.
Uriel has told me all I need to know about your sins.
The creeping hollow unease in his chest made Rami toss out the first rebuttal he could think of. Harsh and untrue, but he knew better than to admit that to servants of hell. Both Claire and the demon fell silent.
The angel out front is Uriel?
Claire asked. Rami cursed himself for rising to the bait. He pushed the still half-full mugs away from him as he stood from the bar.
Surrender the artifact and give up this errand, librarian.
Rami's jaw tightened.
Don't risk your eternal soul.
I find myself already damned, but your concern is noted.
I'd watch the threats. We're guests of some very nice hosts with very large axes, Claire said, gaze falling to where Rami's fingers brushed the hilt at his side. Rami made a slow show of measuring the room.
You've found yourself some privacy, librarian. What if my good friend, the bartender, decides to step out?
The librarian looked scandalized.
My goodness, someone is desperate. Whatever will we do?
I suppose that depends. She cleared her throat and raised her voice.
What exactly is the protocol for handling aggressors in Valhalla, Arlid?
Rami stifled the urge to jerk back as a leather-clad raven woman dropped from a shadow in the rafters. The woman squinted her coal-heavy eyes, none too happy at being called out.
Aggressors are fed to the flock.
And am I the aggressor in this scenario?
No,
Arlid's lip curled.
But the night is young.
Claire turned to Rami.
There, you see, the Raven captain has been keeping an awfully close eye on me and will be making sure the only one who gets to rough me up is her. You are welcome to test that, of course, but I think you'll find she likes her duty even more than she loathes me. Isn't that right, Arlid?
You have no honor, Arlid muttered.
Something you two agree on,
Claire agreed. Her eyes dropped to his coat.
It's a shame that your feathers are the wrong color for her flock.
Rami worked his jaw but said nothing. It was the second time tonight he had been surprised by hell. He found he didn't care for it. Claire shrugged and slid one of the abandoned drinks to Andris, though Rami noted she'd never touched her own.
The bottom line is this. The book is under the protection of the library now. It belongs in hell. Heaven should mind its own business.
Not when the safety of humanity is at stake, Rami said.
Funny. That's why I'm here, too.
The woman gave a rueful smile that was so human, it made the backs of Rami's hands itch. He wasn't used to interacting with human souls from other realms. He'd spent plenty of time among souls on Earth during his stint as a guide for the lost, not to mention his time in exile among mortals during Earth's earliest history. But a human soul that chose an eternity in hell? He couldn't understand that. Especially a soul that seemed so practical. He half wished she'd be as sinister as her demon attendant. It would ease that wrong feeling at the back of his head. Rami shook the thought from his shoulders and stood.
You work for the deceiver.
No one followed as he left, though Rami thought he heard a long sigh at his back before it was swept up in the increased noise of the hall. Rami hit the door hard enough to make it rock on its hinges as he waded into the sea of revelers. He needed to clear his head. He needed to form a plan. He needed information for a plan. Answers.
Uriel was in deep conversation by the time Rami found her again in the main hall. Or rather, the broad-shouldered creature with a pair of double axes on his hip was in deep conversation. Uriel looked distinctly unamused. Not that Uriel was in the habit of being amused ever, but she held a glare for the Viking man that she usually reserved for improperly tempered blades and disappointing reports.
No, I am not interested, thank you.
But a maiden like yourself.
Move on.
Trouble?
Rami asked as he slid to fill the space vacated.
Humans.
Uriel grunted the word like it left a bad taste in her mouth. It defies logic that their base interest in reproduction lasts beyond death. And the entitlement to it. Arrogant, all of them.
Yes, the arrogance. Imagine.
Rami guided Uriel into a quiet corner.
I encountered the librarian and her people.
Uriel raised a brow.
Demons?
At least one. I don't know him from before, but powerful, dangerous.
What did you learn?
They do not have possession of the artifact, but their hunt led them here, and the librarian considers it under the jurisdiction of the library.
Uriel waved that away too easily.
Heaven's claim supersedes that of any other realm.
She also implied that there's more to this artifact than powerful magic.
Rami said it with a dismissive air, but watched Uriel's reaction carefully. She tilted her chin but looked out over the crowd, hiding the pull of her expression.
Is that so? How curious.
Is it true?
Acquire the artifact and we'll know.
Her answer only seeded the doubt in his gut. Uriel turned back to him.
Their plan?
I gathered that they were waiting for something they needed here. She said they would be leaving tomorrow, Rami said. She was lying, of course.
Glad to see your time in the wild hasn't made you entirely soft.
Uriel narrowed her eyes and searched for something in the crowd.
We will need to intercept them.
Any attempt to confront them will get us expelled from Valhalla, or worse,
Rami said, thinking of the raven captain and her guard.
Not if they stray someplace where Valhalla isn't watching. First rule of demons, Ramiel. You can always rely on servants of hell to be where they shouldn't.
16. Claire.
It's not magic, what we librarians do. It's the same as what our imaginations tried to do when we were alive. The realm just takes a more literal interpretation of it. The pen and paper are a librarian's tools of office. With them, we can weave stories back together by force of will. Guide lost ink, draw a plot back to its true north.
Without them, we're just exceptionally long-lived busybodies. Then again, sometimes busybodies are the only ones to get anything done.
Librarian Fleur Michel,
1735 CE.
The feathers frothed and churned like a small storm cloud clinging to the watcher. Claire kept her eyes on it until he disappeared through the swinging door. Then she allowed herself to let out a long breath.
Well, that was bracing.
Andrus drew a fingertip over his lip, amusement ill-concealed. He took a neat sip of ale. Claire, on the other hand, was too much on edge to drink, unlike the demon and the damned angel. Ramiel had been in easy conversation with the warriors when they'd found him, forcing Claire and Andrus to hang back until his drinking companions had left. He was comfortable here, Claire realized as they'd waited. Comfortable and with a stronger natural connection with this place than Claire or even Hero could hope for. If it came down to forcing Valhalla to choose a side, Bjorn's allegiance to the library wouldn't be enough. Brevity's charm wouldn't be enough. If the angels pushed, it was only a matter of time before Valhalla's hospitality showed cracks.
We need to get out of here.
The conclusion brought her up out of the chair. Andrus nodded as he followed.
We should have time if they think we're staying the night.
He didn't buy it. Claire had seen it in the angel's eyes. All angels had keen eyes, but Ramiel seemed particularly tuned to reading mortals.
At any other time, she would have found it interesting. A deviance in the angelic personality type. But right now, it was a significant threat.
She would need to avoid revealing too much next time they crossed paths.
We need to leave as soon as we speak to Bjorn, before they have time to plan.
That necessitates that we act without a plan.
Andrus was displeased.
I'm a very big proponent of plans. Ardent fan, even.
Claire waved a vague hand as they left.
Can't be helped. We'll be doing this the human way, quick and improvised.
The main hall had progressed beyond boisterous celebration and into clusters of dedicated drinkers industriously working toward a stupor. This worked in Claire's favor, as the path had eased and the largest warrior still blocking her path had become significantly less mobile. She and Andrus wound their way through the stifling hall toward Bjorn's study. Claire touched her hand to the handle, but paused when raised voices trickled through the rough wood.
Showmen like you thought you'd appreciate admirers. You're not admiring, lad. You're molesting. Merely partaking of the simple joy of fine literature. I was bravely wounded in battle, you know. Don't think I can't finish the job.
Claire gave a sigh and pushed through the door. The study was still a picture of clutter and warmth, but this time a very agitated storyteller paced in front of the fireplace. Hero perched in an armchair and shook a partially unfurled scroll as a greeting.
Warden, I do believe I've found our host's weakness. Had you merely rumpled his manuscripts in the ring, this whole nonsense would have resolved itself.
I see you're feeling well enough to be a nuisance again, Hero.
He was pale, but his wrist appeared restored, and the cuts on his face were gone. He didn't rise from the chair, which could indicate some stiffness, but he seemed in one piece. Hero chuckled.
The healers here are marvelous. I suppose they get some practice.
Claire made sure the door was firmly closed before approaching the group. Brevity and Leto were present, the latter a dark shadow positioned closer to the door, having obviously taken the keep Bjorn there order with teenage seriousness. He gave Claire a tight nod as she entered with Andrus. Darkness pooled under his eyes, and Claire made a mental note to enforce a rest when they had a chance. Demons didn't need sleep. Human souls didn't either, technically, but every human psyche needed a break. Mental breakdowns happened in the afterlife just as easily as they did in the world above, and Leto had been through more than enough.
Brev, please see if Bjorn can point you in the way of a decent teapot.
Claire had her own ways of shoring up her psyche, after the interrogative game with the angel. Brevity wiggled her way free of couch cushions, and Claire turned her attention to the still glowering storyteller.
Problems, Bjorn?
He doesn't like me reading his books, scrolls... things, Hero offered.
I don't mind if you read, I mind if you converse with them, Bjorn snapped, finally succeeding in sweeping the scroll out of Hero's hands. He turned to Claire.
Who leaves a hero unattended in a library?
I watched him,
Brevity protested, as she hung a small pot of water, no teapots in Valhalla, but it appeared Brevity had improvised, over the fire.
Great lot of good it's done. He's been chatting up every tale he can get his hands on. I'm a story, they're a story, I was simply being friendly, Hero said with an elegant shrug. Besides, I learned a few things. Lots of strategic texts around here. Might help me keep my head on my shoulders next time I'm forced into the warden's service.
Must you persist in calling me a warden? Claire asked.
Hero's smile was a calculated dazzle.
Would you prefer jailer?
Or shall I curtsy and call you mistress?
Nuisance. Warden. Ass. It's not right, Bjorn interrupted,
leathery face creating even more wrinkles as he drew a hand over his long beard.
Learning changes a character, changes a story. This is irresponsible.
He was entirely correct, and a twinge of regret nagged at her. Claire knew Bjorn's concern as well as any librarian. Hero was a character. He came out of his book with certain skills, certain knowledge, a personality even, all based on who he was in his story. The longer he remained separated from his book and unable to go back, the more likely that would change. If you considered Hero human, it was a good thing. But if you considered Hero what he was, a living portion, only one small part of a larger book, it was making him something other than his original character. It would be harder than ever to fit him back into his pages. It was why when books woke up, excepting the damsels, they were quickly put back to sleep again. But Claire was the one who'd dragged him along. She told herself it was necessary. It was his choice if he wanted to change. It came with a strange, guilty foreboding, the idea of giving a character a choice again, of making that mistake again.
It can't do any more harm than has already been done, Claire finally settled on an adequate response.
Bah! Bjorn threw up his hands. Sorry excuse for a party this is. Just tell me why your apprentice hauled me out of my cups before dawn.
Answers, Bjorn. You owe us some, and we don't intend to wait while you sleep off a hangover.
Claire fished in her pockets until she came up with the Codex Gigas scrap.
You've guessed why we're here.
Bjorn hissed, shrill like a tea kettle. He shoved Claire's wrist back into her pocket.
Don't bring that thing out here.
Claire raised her brows and trailed her gaze down to his hand. Bjorn released her with a sigh.
That thing's brought me nothing but trouble. And yet you seem to have done a shoddy job of ridding the world of it,
Andrus observed.
Bjorn wheeled on him.
Destroying it was your predecessor's job, demon, not mine. Direct your belly aching to him. I was just supposed to find the bloody thing, the storyteller said.
He paused to fetch his half-empty mug of ale before continuing.
You must already know about the missing pages, then.
Yes, Claire said, before Andrus could cast the acid she saw brewing on his lips. It appears they've turned up in the world again. It's very important that we locate them before any other interested parties.
You mean heaven, eh?
Bjorn did not phrase it as a question, and no one bothered to answer it.
That lot never did understand books. Well, I tracked the book the first time just as you would. The Arcanist brought me in because it was a book. It wasn't part of my library, but she and I collaborated and created a calling card for the task. Tricky bit of magic, if I do say so myself.
Claire was desperate enough to entertain hope.
You still have this calling card?
Why would I do a fool thing like that?
Call it a hunch.
Claire flicked her free hand at the catastrophic clutter around them.
You don't seem like the type to get rid of anything.
Bjorn's fist tightened in his beard, and he sighed.
Something wasn't right. The way the old skinflint was acting about it.
Hiding a thing like that on Earth.
I might have held on to a scrap, but it will do you no good. It's too damaged to give a location.
Claire's hopes fell.
There's no other way to track it?
Not by library means, no.
Bjorn frowned into his mug. The logs in the fire ticked before he seemed to decide something.
But it's not a book of the library, not unwritten. It's a book of the realms. There are means outside the library.
Brevity handed Claire her tea and crinkled her brow.
How's that possible?
Bjorn chuckled.
Which do you think came first, little apprentice? Books or tales? It's like I told your senior before. The first library was a song. I dare say I've learned more about the sound of a story since I came to Valhalla.
Claire could tell the old man was dancing around something he wasn't exactly eager to share.
So there is a way to track it. Out with it, Bjorn, please.
Bjorn pressed his wrinkled lips together.
There's more to a story than just its pages. Yes, put together with my fragment. If that little paper of yours cooperates, you might have a way to go. But you're not going to like what it takes.
The best stories are bled,
Claire muttered, almost like a chant, before shrugging.
I'll do what's necessary.
Bjorn's eyes dropped to the bag on her hip.
You have to give up your books until you find it.
Claire nearly snorted into her tea, and she set the mug down carefully.
I beg your pardon, not more of this duel nonsense. Not for a duel, librarian. Until you locate your quarry, you have to leave your books. It won't work otherwise.
The notes I brought are the only tools I'll have in the mortal world. You're asking us to continue on completely defenseless,
with two violent representatives from heaven at our backs.
Claire narrowed her eyes.
You're going to have to explain a bit more than that. The voice of the book, the music, the song of the tale.
Bjorn paused with a glance toward Leto and Andrus.
Every book has it. You know, the book's way of talking, the words it uses, the rhythm of the speaker in your head as you read, its voice, each one a bit unique to the author and the tale. Before the written word, it was even more important. Every storyteller worth their salt knew how to create their own voice, mimic others, and find the beat that wove it.
Well, obviously not every storyteller.
Claire was droll.
You're talking about an actual narrative voice of books. A sound, a song. That's ridiculous.
Says the woman accompanied by a muse, two demons, and Prince Charming,
Andrus added.
I've been librarian for 3 decades and never heard of such a thing.
A whole 3 decades? Goodness.
Bjorn didn't hide his disdain.
It makes sense,
Brevity said slowly, drawing Claire's attention. She fidgeted, fussing with the cooling pot of tea before looking up.
Muses see more parts of a book than librarians do. They got these colors, these... Well, it wouldn't surprise me if they got a song, too.
Just so, Bjorn said. The library wouldn't have bothered with it much. Too many books, too many restless tales coming and going. I didn't know about it till I got here. Things are more sedate here.
Hero snorted.
You learned how to work with these songs here in Valhalla,
Claire guessed.
And you think you know the voice, the song of the Codex?
I don't.
Bjorn gestured a knobby hand at her skirt pockets.
But if that paper will tell me, I know how to listen. Coupled with the calling card, we might be fixed to jigger a clear tune. A book of the realms won't be sharing a song with any other book, so it should lead you right to what you're seeking.
Claire considered.
You still haven't explained why I have to leave my books.
Too noisy, too loud. You're already going to be trying to pick out a who knows how old song out of a million stories in progress in the mortal world. There are ways of sorting that out. Written stories, existing stories, simple enough to mute and filter out. But those unwritten books and personal notes in your bag, librarian, coupled with your own words, unwritten stories are like ink in water. You'll never follow the thread if you're distracted.
A disquiet began to creep up Claire's back. She flicked an unsettled glance at the rest of the group, and Brevity shook her head emphatically. Abandoning her books was antithetical to every duty a librarian had. The only powers she had were with the tools of her office. Even trusting them in the care of another librarian felt wrong. Without them, she'd be more vulnerable. She'd be more human. Claire dropped her gaze for the first time and studied the fraying edge of the bandage that wrapped around her left arm. It all came back to finding the lost pages of the Codex. Hero's return to his book, Brevity's training, Leto's mystery, even her own duties as librarian of the Unwritten Wing had all taken a back seat the moment she'd decided to close the library and follow a raven out of hell. She was responsible for those that followed after her, though. It had changed the moment Andrus painted a future where the library could be destroyed for doing its duty, where heaven was willing to wage war for a secret. The Archangel and the Watcher outside were nothing compared with what that would look like. And if she and Leto as human souls got caught outside hell when their ghost lights went out, even worse things would be after them. She was risking all of them in various ways. Abandoning her books would open her to more risks, but it was the only clear path ahead for any of them. "Teach me this song of yours, and I'll consider leaving my books." "Consider it." Claire paused. "Except one. Hero needs to keep his book nearby for obvious reasons. Unless Hero believes he's found his kin in Valhalla?" Hero let out a mirthless laugh.
"Stay with this bearded mayhem? I'd rather eat my sword."
"See, he's warmed right up to us, like family we are,"
Brevity chirped. Bjorn shuffled his feet, slanting a disgruntled gaze at Hero before nodding. "It'll be better if he can keep it quiet, but keep him at a distance when you're listening, and it might work." Claire felt the gathered eyes shift back to her. It felt like a weight settled on her shoulders. She stood, slinging the bag from her grasp. She first dug out Hero's book, newly replaced pages still gleaming, glaring white next to their faded yellow cream brothers. She held it out to him with one hand. "You're still in special collections, mind. Don't make me regret this."
"As always, your faith sustains me."
Hero found an inside coat pocket and the book diminished slightly to fit. Claire carried the bag over to Brevity and slung the strap over her assistant's head before she could protest. "Hold these for now." Brevity's nose crinkled as she took the bag.
"What are you thinking, boss?"
"Just hold them. We're not leaving quite yet," Claire said, dodging the question. "That part could wait." Rid of her possessions, she turned again to Bjorn. In her chest, there was a lightness that was unexpected. Hollow, vulnerable, but it was done. The act of doing had a decisive power in itself.
"Ready when you are, storyteller."
Bjorn nodded and turned toward the bookcase near the fireplace. He shuffled the scrolls on the middle shelf for a moment before there was a thunk. The shelves melted into thin air to reveal a night full of stars behind it.
"We'll need to get away from my collection as well if we're going to be proper about it,"